Beloved listeners, and welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. You know, we've made a commitment to supporting you and to help you to make wise choices to improve your life. There's a daily prayer, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously, experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Yes, we're going for it. One thought at a time, one breath at a time. And today, thanks to our guest, one bite of amazing food at a time. We are going to move things ahead. And your Advanced Living Program is brought to you by AdvancedLiving.com, home of the comfort technology. We invite you to take a moment, check out AdvancedLiving.com, see why powerful people like Jack Canfield or Reverend Michael Beckwith or Daniel Brinkley or Harvard MD, Eva Selhub, people traveling the world and giving good advice, have embraced the comfort technology, a tiny plug-in device, that when it's there, simply plug it in and your life gets better. It's like having the Dalai Lama show up and meditate in your room. Pure, harmonious energies. Oh my gosh, get ready for something real, real good. Better sleep, better thinking, better productivity, just generally a better life. And now, we are in for a major, major treat. Not too often do we get a way to live healthier and have this delivered by a fine, fine gentleman who's been on a powerful spiritual path. And what's so nice is we're coming into a time, folks, where you know there's some challenges. The world is birthing into a new potential for alignment at an amazing level. Most of us have some awareness that things on the planet have been pretty, we might say, euphemistically, a little out of balance. More generally speaking, perhaps maybe insane, where billions of people have been brutalized and hurt, and governments and politicians and industrialists, things that were done where there wasn't a concern for how everyone was going to be affected. And we know that really doesn't work for everyone. We want a world that works for everyone. None of us are throwaway people. And so we have an opportunity as these changes come up to change some powerful things in our life, and one of them is the way we eat. And what if we didn't have much electricity for a while? What if we didn't have a supply of food coming in from the trucking companies? What would we do? Our Mormon brothers and sisters have been telling us for 177 plus years to prepare just in case of something like that. Now we have stuff from Homeland Security indicating 2011, 2013 solar flares could interfere with the electrical system. We might be without electricity from, say a few days to, about 6 months or so. Okay, not good. Well, there's an answer today that's just going to tickle your fancy. A gentleman, James Galusha. He grew up in Denver, and actually between Denver and the mountains is a place called Golden. So there's our Golden boy who's with us today and had just for so many years, meditating for 25 years, involved in a spiritual practice that time, and then about 12 years ago, got into something that you may have heard about from time to time, juicing, yes, okay, and then about that time, got into sprouting, and he's got a background as a musician, and always was interested in plants and animals, just life in general. Loved to be a drummer, played quite a bit for a while, still does. So he is self-taught in these things, and he has basically amassed a gigantic body of knowledge and expertise in nutrition and disease prevention. And he's going to help share some of this with us. And he is a living example of some of the things you can look into. For instance, say he's an advocate of vegetarian living, and Dr. Milton Mills, a holistic medical professional, is part of a team that basically invites us, hey folks, take a look at your body, not from an ego standpoint, but just as a mechanism. A body of a human being is the digestive system of an herbivore. Any culture on the planet that eats meat and eats dairy, the more of that they eat, the higher their disease rate. So whether we have been conditioned to crave meats and other things that aren't in our best interest, that lets us know, like Pavlov taught us, as the animal in us can be conditioned to crave things that are not in our best interest. Well, stand back. We're going to have James come and pave a pathway of light and glory and good eating for pennies a day. Hello, hello, James.
Hello, Kenneth.
Pleasure. Hey, what a treat. Thanks for taking time and coming on in.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's a joy to have this opportunity to speak with you all about this.
Now, of course, we've heard of sprouts. Now, you talk about working with something called microgreens. Now, so let's go ahead and get into that a bit.
Certainly, certainly. Well, as you said, just about everyone's heard of sprouts, particularly alfalfa sprouts and that kind of thing. A lot of people haven't heard of microgreens, and specifically what that means are very small young plants which are larger than sprouts but are smaller than baby greens. So we've all seen, you know, the baby green salads that you can buy, the prepackaged salads made out of baby greens, and we've seen them in our garden. A microgreen is are young plants that are typically grown by the hundreds. So for example, in trays, there are other ways to grow them as well. But where your end result is a long, tall plant, anywhere from an inch and a half to 3 or even 6 or 7 inches tall, that is long and skinny, grown in indirect light, that's seeking the light. And what your end result is a power-packed, nutrition-packed, energy-packed food that is easy to grow, inexpensive, delicious, and it's just a wonderful thing to add into your diet along with sprouts, and it's related to sprouts, but they're just phenomenal.
Wow, I love this. I love this. Now, I know that one of the treats that I used to so much enjoy was going to the store, and there'd be bins of alfalfa sprouts or mung bean, or sometimes what they call a spicy sprout mixture, which I think had some radish in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing that's not as available, or some light that you could shed on that. A little packet that has a handful of sprouts is like $1.50, $2 or something like that.
Often more,
yeah, especially if you get into what I guess some of the, like broccoli or other things. So that'd be pretty expensive. So why do you grow your own sprouts rather than buying them?
Well, Kenneth, there's really a lot of reasons. It's great fun, for one. And it is inexpensive. You can grow tremendous amounts of sprouts and microgreens very, very inexpensively. The price differential between what you can end up with for your investment when you grow your own versus buying them at the store is not just significant. It's enormous. It's huge. Another reason is that you can grow all kinds of stuff that you simply can't buy for any price. I mean, you can grow a wide variety of sprouts and microgreens that simply aren't available for purchase anywhere. Another reason is it enables self-sufficiency. I mean, you're not reliant on something being in stock at a store or even going to a store at all once you've got your seeds and everything. Another reason is that you can have a continuous supply. You can have sprouts available at all times. I eat sprouts virtually every day. And again, you can have this wide variety of gourmet sprouts and all kinds of exotic and amazing flavors. And it's easy. It's easy to do it. Kids love it. So if for anyone who's got kids, it's something that you can get them involved in that they'll have a blast with and enjoy. And some of them will probably even argue over who gets to tend to the sprouts today, you know. And finally, it's just a way for people who have a green thumb to garden on a small scale. So think of it as micro farming.
Yeah.
So there's just a long list of reasons to grow sprouts rather than buying them.
Now, something for me that I think could be an important distinction when you're talking about kind of like this growing sprouts and the idea of people think of, well, gardening and I'm growing my own food.
Mm-hmm.
I'm suspecting from taking a look at some of the PowerPoint presentation
mm-hmm.
that the skill level that's needed to become highly proficient at this compared to the skill level that's needed to grow vegetables or fruits in a garden, that there's a big difference.
I wouldn't say there's a big difference. There's really... There's definitely a difference. I mean, it requires a little more attention to detail and some, you know, commitment to be meticulous, certainly.
Yeah. Well,
but,
to me, what I was looking at, James, was there's a lot of things. Getting ground ready, I mean, the garden, what do you plant with what? I mean, weeding. So anyway... To me, what I was celebrating from watching part of your PowerPoint was, golly, a person didn't have to know all this stuff to be an incredibly successful sprout farmer. It was just like so much easier, and you didn't have to get dirty. I mean, if you wanted to get dirty, you could, but it wasn't part of what you needed to do for growing sprouts.
Certainly, yeah, that's correct. I mean, once you learn the techniques and understand them and get good at them, it's something that you can do simply and easily just year after year. And again, like you said, it's in its way, it's not nearly as involved as outdoor gardening. And one thing that I think would really surprise a lot of people, Kenneth, is that once you implement the techniques and really, you know, learn to do them in a straightforward way, you can actually grow a tremendous amount of food. You know, people think of sprouts as being fairly small in the amount of food that you're actually eating, but you can actually produce quite a substantial amount of food for even a whole family, really, with sprouting. It's amazing.
Wow. And you were, I guess if I'm understanding right now, how much of your diet comes from stuff that you grow in your own home?
A significant portion. Being vegan, and embracing an alkaline diet and lifestyle, I eat a lot of fruit and everything, so most of that I don't grow, certainly, but quite a bit of what I eat is from indoors. My indoor crops. I mean, I grow a lot of sunflower greens, for example, which are a type of microgreen that is not really a sprout. It's like a microgreen, as I described at the beginning of the show. And those, they're just incredibly versatile. I mean, you can use them on sandwiches, in salads, in wraps. You can use them as, you know, on anywhere that you would use greens. You can use them on burritos and enchiladas. You can make so many, even just the variations of all the different wraps you can make and all the different ways that you can use them there is tremendous. And for example, sunflower greens have so much protein and usable protein that the energy and sustenance that you're getting for the volume of food that you're eating is huge. It's much larger than almost any other food that you can eat, to be honest with you.
Wow. I look forward, and at some point in time, I don't know if you've put together any statistics, because I'm thinking to myself a number of questions, like I call this, some of this transitional. In other words, an average person that wanted to do something simple to improve their health, if they had kids, they could teach kids to actually do something that would be helpful for the whole family.
Oh, yeah.
Give the kids a lot of self-esteem.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, which is a great thing to do. Spiritually, I don't know. To me, we know from listening to the things like The Secret and Albert Einstein and so many people, quantum physicists, it's all energy.
Right.
And then if I'm understanding, there's something very special about, in a plant's life, the time when it is a sprout,
mm-hmm.
In terms of what's going on energetically.
Absolutely, that's correct.
Don't know if you could comment a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, as you said, I mean, first of all, spiritually, just growing a live plant like that and a baby plant, energetically, there's a lot going on. Spiritually, there's a lot going on. You're bringing this vibrant new life into the world, and it's just chock full of energy from the spirit and from the source. And beyond that, just about all plants, there's a couple of things that are going on in the sprouting phase. Firstly, when you take a seed that is already packed with nutrition, for example, a sunflower seed or an alfalfa seed or a cabbage seed, what have you, that's already very nutritious and full of minerals and all kinds of, you know, trace nutrients and minerals, and you sprout that same seed, you unlock a potential that is enormous, both energetically and also in terms of nutrition. For example, speaking of statistics, now, of course, this is a general statement, but generally speaking, when you take a seed and you can tabulate or make note of the existing mineral and vitamin content of that seed, and then you sprout that, you germinate and sprout that same seed, you unlock up to 600 times the vitamin, mineral, and nutrition content of that same seed just by sprouting it and growing a baby plant out of it.
Wow. 600 times.
That's no exaggeration. Up to 600 times, depending on the seed.
Yeah.
That's generally correct. And so, like, for example, if you think about flax seeds, for example, flax seeds are well known and widely known to be enormously beneficial to health. There's flax oil and flax meal and flax crackers and all these kind of things. If you think about, I'm just putting this out there for something to contemplate, if you think about the nutrition value of a flax seed and magnifying that by up to 600 times just by sprouting it, That's just astronomical.
Hmm. Yeah.
Something to really think about. I mean, you know, talk about multiplying your existing resources and unlocking a value just by bringing it to life, you know? Isn't
yeah. That awesome? Gee, so here people are, and it would be interesting, I don't know if you have the resources to do this, but I'd certainly love to help spread the word, because as a number of people are aware that there's some changes going on, that, and they're thinking, okay, well, I want to be prepared. well, I want to have some water. I want to have some food on hand. And so there's a bunch of stuff of prepared foods and canned foods, different stuff being sold to people and stocking shelves. It's like, yes, you can have that stuff. It, from what I've seen, it's expensive and not necessarily nutrition, strong in the nutrition.
No.
And so I don't know about other people. I had an experience when I lived in the San Diego area of being able to go to the Optimum Health Institute, which is one of the healing centers that has a big greenhouse, and they would grow all kinds of sprouts. And between sprouts and some juicing and cleaning the colon, they were pulling person after person back from four-stage cancers and all kinds of terrible health conditions. And what was so startling to me, the fees that they would charge, a double occupancy, someone could stay there for about $650 or $700 for a week. There was room, there was food, that was all kinds of different classes. And I'm thinking, you can't get a decent hotel room in San Diego for that money, let alone stay at a world-class center that is basically doing lots of the things that you're helping us to learn to do on our own.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's especially once if a person were to embrace sprouting really, you know, and make it a regular part of their routine, you know, and just really fully utilize the potential there, the benefits are enormous and the potential is enormous, and it's something that, like you said, you're talking about going into these facilities where certainly there's other things going on, but the fundamental principles of what's going on, i.e. cleansing and nourishing, are fully available at home. And, you know, it's just something that I think everybody should learn, and I particularly like what you said about the kids, you know, giving kids something to do that's constructive and beneficial and even will help their self-esteem. I mean, they're going to feel like they're doing something that's meaningful and beneficial for their family and their friends, and it's just a win-win situation, Kenneth.
Yeah, it sounds tremendous. I'm sitting there looking at your happy photo that we put up on the BBS radio show website, and then imagining you and a team of people. There was Mr. Wizard, there was Mr. Rogers, now we might have Mr. Sprout. And then I was kind of laughing to myself. You bring, like, if there's a new pet in the household, a new kitty or a puppy, okay, so the kids name the pet and play with it and keeps it occupied. And I thought, okay, the beauty, and many people may not have actually experienced, and I'll have you kind of describe it, but we go from a seed, and, of course, it's a little hard unless you have special camera equipment. If you plant a seed in the garden in the dirt, it's a little hard to see the germination process where it becomes a sprout, but you get to witness that, and my gosh, there it is, new life coming forth, and not only new life, but life that is there powerfully nourishing the body and bringing its vibrant, alive energy. So, gosh, what a treat.
It is. It is a wonderful treat, and it's just a wonderful process to witness, as you said, and to experience and to take part in. I mean, you come to I talk to my sprouts, you know, and I thank them. I thank them not only my sprouts, but when I harvest my trays of sunflower greens and pea greens and those kind of things, I sincerely thank them for all that they give to us and this abundant life energy that they so generously, you know, give to me and bless us all with. It's just, yeah, it's extraordinary. It's one of those things in life, like certain other things, that it's very simple and straightforward, but it's extraordinary, and it's multi-dimensional, and it's multifaceted, and it's something that when you really delve into it fully and explore it fully, it's such a blessing on so many levels, and it's just one of those things where, you know how they say that sometimes the simple things in life are the most beautiful and the most amazing, and this is certainly one of those things.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, I love it. Of course, there's... I'm just kind of thinking of who knows what. Neil Donald Walsh did Conversations with God, and and you might be the breakthrough person that that does Conversations with Sprouts.
I might.
Yes, I mean it sounds a little funny at the moment, but I would wonder with living things like in nature. There's such a beauty in the human condition. I notice there's so much confusion. A plant, an animal, they don't wake up in the morning going, "Who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? Oh my gosh, what's it mean? What's the meaning of life?" It's sort of like they are just connected to being who they are and fulfilling their purpose. Through the blossoming of themselves, and there's not any worry about it. It just is a thing of beauty. So here you are on a daily basis communing with things that are coming to life, and they come to life with great gifts to give and with no uncertainty, no doubt about their purpose, and just full of expressing life and full of course, from a consuming standpoint, nutritional density. And there you are, like some of the beautiful religions, taking time to be in reverent, sacred gratitude so that you commune with them and really take it to another energetic level. I hope you're getting some of this stuff on video at some point in time, because these are things that people may not know how to do. Not everyone is able to see the preciousness in the beauty of the things that are near them. And so to bear witness to that, I mean, it would be just nice to know, look, I can grow this stuff, and I can live off of it. I mean, hooray, and I can do it and save a ton of money. That's another level of hooray.
Yeah.
And then you can take it beyond that with some of your spiritual nature.
Oh, indeed, Kenneth. Yeah, it's just, like I said, it's so multifaceted and multidimensional, and as you said, it's a blessing in all these areas of life, you know, to be able to grow food for pennies. And speaking of that, this is no exaggeration. Using my methods and learning how to do this and getting good at it, which really doesn't take that long, especially if you start. I mean, I've been experimenting for over 12 years to get where I am, but for a person to, like if they were to take my class or get the information or whatever and hit the ground running with that, you can literally, no exaggeration, you can literally grow this food for pennies on the dollar. So you can grow $100 worth of food for a dollar.
Wow.
That is absolutely, and the way I arrive at that figure is if you were to go out, for example, to your local health food store and purchase $20, worth of sunflower greens in those little square boxes, they would be good, and they would be very good for you, and they're excellent. But if you learn how to grow your own, and you use a little higher quality soil than the way they're done, they're actually not even grown on soil, you can grow sunflower greens that are three times the height, twice the diameter, intensely more flavorful, chock full of a lot more protein and nutrition. And you can grow that $20 worth of sunflower greens for 20 cents worth of sunflower seeds.
Wow.
Now, of course, you got your soil and everything. Now, there's a little cost involved there, but you can reuse it. You can use it over and over. And if it finally gets to a point where it isn't working well, you can throw it in your garden. So it's like a zero-waste endeavor. And, again, I kid you not, and wheatgrass, for example, is the same. Those little boxes of wheatgrass, those run about $5. And, you know, to grow a 4-inch by 4-inch container of wheatgrass that would cost you $5 costs about 5 cents worth of wheat kernels.
Uh-huh.
So it's a penny on the dollar.
Wow. Penny on the dollar. That's amazing. Now,
yeah.
One of the things that would be helpful, you know, not everyone has access to coming to Denver, Colorado to take your classes, but you do offer a PowerPoint presentation, I understand, that gets into lots of the detail. Is that right?
Yes, extraordinary detail. It literally is the compilation of, as I said, about 12 years of research and experimentation that's put together in a very, very step-by-step, very detailed presentation that covers absolutely every aspect of sprouting and growing microgreens. So yeah, that's available.
Yeah.
And also,
and,
I am.
How can we get our hands on that? Do you have to just pray and chant, or
chanting helps?
Okay.
Sanskrit chanting is very good for that. but well, you can mail order it from me. Another thing that I'm looking at doing very soon, in fact, I'll probably have it done within the next month at the latest, is converting it into a PDF file and selling it online as an ebook.
Yes.
And that's really going to make it accessible to everyone.
There you go.
And you know, pay for it through PayPal or whatever, however it works. But
sure.
Yeah. So that's the next step. And I've one of the reasons I haven't done that already is because it's been an ongoing endeavor, and I've really wanted to make sure that it was just incredibly thorough and very, very complete in terms of every little detail, because there are so many tips and tricks, and there are so many little shortcuts and things that you know, a person can avoid having to reinvent the wheel there. But I'm just about there now, so I'm like I said, probably no more than a month away from turning it into an ebook.
Right. Now, are there ways people could, I don't know if you want to accept contact by email or phone for people interested in obtaining this or keeping in touch so that they can know when it's available?
Yeah, I can provide an email address.
Sure, and go ahead when you're ready.
Okay. It's rather lengthy, so get out your pens and papers and letter-sized documents.
Yes, exactly. Get a can of spray paint for your wall. Okay.
Yeah, the email address is godmatrix@dialupforless.com, and I will spell that all out. So it's GODMATRIX, GodMatrix, @ dialupforless.com, which is DIALUP, and then the numeral 4, not the word 4, but the numeral 4, LESS.com. And that's my direct email. You can contact me through that email, and I'll be more than happy to send you off a CD with the full 164 slide, extremely detailed presentation in PowerPoint format, and that's $20.
Ah, fantastic. Wow. I'm telling you, folks, I got partway through that recently, and it is. It's just joyful to see how detailed and how many options he gives you for different equipment that you can use and ways to keep it looking good. One of the interesting things I hadn't thought about, mold.
Yes, that's a big issue for some people, and that's actually one thing that prevents some people who try and have difficulties with mold that give up on sprouting. And I never gave up, and I've completely taken care of any issues with that. And so, but yeah, that's certainly something that you would learn all about in that presentation. And, you know, incidentally, that's another good reason to grow sprouts at home. Not so much for mold on a, you know, certainly they wouldn't be selling any finished product that contained mold or anything, but just in terms of healthy, you know, safe produce, there have been studies that show that sometimes the bags of sprouts that you buy, depending on how long they've been sitting there, can develop bacteria, which would probably not be a problem at all if you just rinsed them off, just like, because there's bacteria on lots of produce. But my point is that when you grow your own sprouts and you learn how to, you know, you learn proper growing techniques and proper cleanliness procedures and proper handling and storage techniques and everything, you completely eliminate any problems with mold or bacteria or anything like that. And you're in control every step of the way. You know where it's been, you know who's handled it, you know how it's been handled. You have total control, and you end up with a consistent, finished product that is as fresh, as pure, as, you know, bacteria-free as anything you could ever get. And, again, it's all under your control. So,
yeah. I think that's a marvelous, marvelous thing. I was told that for many of the different spiritual disciplines, that the people that do the food preparation are generally those that are kind of like most along the path towards enlightenment or the most spiritual, because their energy gets imparted to the food.
Absolutely true. Yes, sir.
And so we're out there, we go to a restaurant or pick something up at a store, we literally, we don't know where that's been, or
yep,
we don't know the people that it's been in contact with, or the consciousness. It would be nice to have everyone take some Mary Poppins drugs and be in a place of spiritual love with whatever they were doing, so that when they touched our food, they were thrilled with joy and put it on the shelf thrilled with joy.
Yes.
That may not happen. But
no,
in your house, you have some ability to get into that happier space.
You sure do. You're in control on every single step of the process. And as you said, it isn't just about making sure that it's healthy and safe and fresh, but that you can infuse it with love and high consciousness and good intentions and heart-centered, you know, compassion and everything. So you can end up with a food that's bursting not only with flavor and nutrition and everything, but with love energy.
Yeah. Now, what I'm wondering about, too, based on what Dr. Emoto showed us, and he wasn't the first one. There's lots of people that have known water, liquid holds energy vibration.
Yes.
And Dr. Emoto, I think, has brought it to a high level of awareness for a lot of folks on the planet. And so it makes me wonder, is there a decent amount of water content in the sprout?
Oh, yeah, there is. There's definitely a large amount of water content, actually, in the sprout.
So you have two among who knows how many things going on. One is that it's alive and growing, and we know from other research that plants like to be spoken to. They like nice music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not sure if they like to go for walks. I don't know about some of that stuff, but certainly kindness and happiness just for the living organism. And then the part about the vibration of speaking of vibration into the water content of that plant and infusing it, like Dr. Emoto showed, can be done.
Absolutely, and not just through speech, Kenneth, and you know, verbal vibration and even spiritual and loving intentions that are nonverbal, but you can do other things. For example, I use sacred geometry designs around my sprouts. And I, you know, so that you can surround them with energy fields from other, there are devices. In fact, for example, the product that you sell that enhances the harmonious vibrations of the home, I'm sure absolutely that would be an example of a device and an environmental enhancer that would absolutely be reflected in the finished product. And since you're growing it indoors, I mean, think about it. You couldn't use that device at least easily to affect an outdoor garden. But inside, I guarantee you, whatever energy field those sprouts and microgreens are growing in is going to significantly impact the finished product. So you've got a device like U-Cell, you've got sacred geometry, you've got prayers, you can sing to them, like you said, through the voice. Every, you know, love, vibration, and energy that you just send in the direction of the plants, whatever you do, it's soaking it up. And I don't think it's just in the water content either. I think it's throughout the organism. So, I mean, again, that's something you don't have control over from anything store-bought or restaurant purchased at all.
No, no. I want to encourage people, by the way, because there is such a power that we have to heal that you can get things the beautiful puppy that you maybe have brought into your house that got from the shelter that was not treated well, but over time with enough love, then that the puppy receives it and begins to reciprocate. Well, stuff that may not have been treated great in a store or processed beautifully, you can, with intention and prayer, bring it to a much higher energy level.
Mm-hmm.
But why bother to do that when you can have stuff that you've been loving the whole time and is just off the chart? It would be interesting. I don't know if we could with some Curly and stuff, but I'd love to see the difference between a box of store-bought sprouts and a box of your sprouts, James.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know David Wolf and one of his books on raw foods, he used some Curly in photography to show a difference between organic and non-organic foods.
Yeah.
And I would like to be able to do some documentation so that people could see a visual of the difference between, yes, here's beautiful sprouts and they're, you know, look nice and taste good, and now here's what you can do when you follow the James Galusha, put your love and heart into blessing those things method.
Oh, I would love to see that. I know it would be very significant to see a visual representation like that of the energy coming off of those. I know it would be, that's a great idea. And I would
And what I could imagine, because I like the idea, I'm working with the Children's Global Peace Project, who's teaching things about kids that they can get along with each other. You know, shock of all time, people could get along.
Mm-hmm.
I know someone told us to do that, some spiritual guy, or maybe a team of spiritual guys. Anyway, what's so exciting was the idea of a contest where we could, when the equipment becomes more readily available, I would love to see different photographs where there's a contest for who can put the most energy of love into different things, like the foods, and then have a whole gallery of pictures of amazing, beautiful energy that comes from these foods that have been nurtured and then loved and worshipped, and then they get to be consumed so we can take that energy back into us.
Well, that's a beautiful idea, Kenneth. And you know, one of the things that would be great to incorporate into that idea would be children. I mean, think about,
oh yeah,
teaching children how to sprout is already something that I think could just light them up and make them happy and make them feel important and involved in life and, you know, in the family and all that. And can you imagine having a contest with a bunch of different kids that were really sincere about, you know, seeing who could put the most love into it? I think the results would be not only astonishing, but it would be something beautiful to witness.
That's
a great idea, Kenneth.
Oh, thank you. Well, we're birthing it now, and we'll share it with Tajali and Kevin, the co-founders of the Children's Global Peace Project, and we'll just bring that out there. I have a saying, because from the standpoint of a competitive nature, I say, well, in the contest of who can love the most, there are only winners.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Because it doesn't matter if you were first or 97th, just participating in that kind of contest is uplifting to everybody.
Well, you know, by mentioning this and by sharing that with me, Kenneth, you've just kind of sparked this like new desire in me to teach children how to sprout. I mean, I want to teach everyone, but there's just something about the idea of getting children more involved in this and really bringing them on board. And can you imagine? Can you imagine if you would have learned to sprout when you were 5 or 7 years old and you became so fond of it and you became so good at it and you watched how it enhanced your life and the lives of your family and friends it just became more than a hobby, but just how healthy and how enriched your life would be now if you started sprouting at 7.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I don't know if you ever saw the movie Supersize Me.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I've seen that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, to me, there's a reminder in there because while a lot of the focus of attention was on the serious consequences of a person that consumes a lot of McDonald's, and I suppose if he was willing to, you know, risk his life, he could have redone it and says, okay, well, McDonald's almost killed me, but I don't know, maybe Burger King wouldn't. And he could have gone restaurant after restaurant, but I don't think he would have lasted long enough.
I don't think so.
No, not with the negative consequences he experienced in 30 days.
No.
But they were showing the stuff about school lunch programs and, of course, how bad that is in so many places. And then there was this company in Wisconsin that was producing higher quality food without preservatives and chemicals in it. And this company had gotten a contract with a facility of, I don't know if they were called delinquents or hard-to-manage children or problem children that were kicked out of regular school. And these, quote, problem kids, when given a wholesome, nourishing diet that wasn't anywhere near the nutritional quality we're talking about here, but still so much better than poison McDonald's, but I mean that in a nice way.
Sure.
Because we know that not all people want to live, and so eating poison might just be their way to leave the planet. And thank God McDonald's is there helping lubricate their path to an earlier death. But, thank you. I want to just call out to mind that if they could do so much with those kids that were way out of control, imagine something like this coming into schools and especially with the hard economic times of here's a way. And one of the things, because I see your happy smiley face there, there's Teletubbies, there's Barney, there's different kinds of fun things.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what kind of playful concept. Sesame Street, you name it, there's powerful things that have brought forth these things to kids in an entertaining way. And so I think you as Mr. Sprout, who knows what, I'm warning the kids right now. Be on the lookout. He's coming.
The Sprout Man cometh.
Yes, and of course, what I could see in different holsters that you could have would be some different sauces for the sprouts.
Different dressings, yeah.
Yes.
Oh God, that's funny. Well, you know, it's what you said, Kenneth, about the correlation between mental health and well-being and physical health and nutrition is huge. And not just nutrition, but toxicity and you know, poison and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, too often in this culture, we're ready to just point the finger at, peripheral problems, things that aren't really the problem and the cause at the heart of the matter. And, you know, to just give a kid or an adult, for that matter, a prescription drug or anything that's really a symptomatic approach rather than addressing, you know, what can be the root cause. And certainly nutrition and purity of organic foods it's not optional. It's not just significant. It's absolutely critical to mental health and to physical health and just every aspect of wellness and attitude, emotional states, everything. It cannot be overemphasized, and I'm not saying that sprouts are the entire answer or something like that, but, you know, integrating something like sprouting and learning how to grow these amazing microgreens into a person's regular life, particularly over time.
Oh, yeah.
It will have a phenomenal effect on just everything to do with that person's wellness.
Sure. I mean, and if we compare and contrast that with modern children, that through cartoons, our sweet little cartoons that have, I don't know if it's 50,000, 100,000, half a million, but acts of violence. And this is playful cartoons,
right?
Where children are exposed to that to the point where some children have actually murdered each other, and were surprised when the person that they murdered didn't pop back to life like they do in the cartoon.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff that's gone on in terms of information dissemination that is so toxic, and then here's an opportunity to hang out, teach people to be productive, grow, connect with nature, infuse their energy, share with each other, receive the physical, mental, emotional benefits of it, learn other things about interacting in peaceful ways. I mean, no, this is some of the key elements on a pathway for an epidemic of peace breaking out on the planet.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, what better way to help facilitate that than teaching children how to sprout, because it's some of the fundamental concepts that they're going to be learning and adopting, to especially to be successful at it, are how to nurture, how to pay attention,
yeah,
how to be meticulous in your caring, how to, you know, enjoy facilitating life and the life of the plant and the life of the people consuming the food. And I think it's a great way to teach children metaphorically and literally a lot of these basic things, which should be, you know, we would think in a healthy society would be fundamentally understood very readily and easily. But as you said, through the media and cartoons and various ways, that children are desensitized to things and led down a path that certainly doesn't foster these kind of things, things that should be sort of obvious.
Yeah.
I think sprouting is certainly one way to, you know, I mean, if I don't have kids myself, but if I did, I guarantee that they'd be saying, I get to water the sunflower greens. I get to take care of the pea greens. I get to cut the wheatgrass. I get to juice the wheatgrass. Here, Daddy, let me make you some juice out of this wheatgrass, because I know you're tired and you've had a long day. You know, what better way to make a child feel like they're contributing and important, and you know what,
yeah,
I mean?
Oh, absolutely. James, I feel like we're just opening the wonderful jar of sprouts, so to speak. Not a can of worms, it's a jar of sprouts, and here we are at the end of our hour. I'd like you to share, please, again, that email address for yourself.
Okay, certainly. It's godmatrix@dialupforless.com, and that is GODMATRIX at dialup, DIALUP4, and that's the number 4, not the word 4.
Okay.
Less.com, LESS.com. So godmatrix@dialupforless.com. Write it down if you can do it without getting hand cramps from such a long email address.
Exactly. Or get a tattoo. Who knows?
I really.
that you'll want that. We recommend henna because they do wash off later.
But, really?
So, great. James, I just want to thank you, and we've had something of your special time that is a gift, and just bless you for taking time out to do this with us.
My pleasure, Kenneth. Thank you so much for having me on, and whether you learn from me or however you do it, I just want to encourage everyone to embrace sprouting and to look into sprouting and growing microgreens and changing and enhancing your life through that, and God bless you all, and thanks for listening.
You're welcome, James. Thank you. And beloved listeners, remember, tune in every week to Advanced Living Radio. We're here to be a blessing to your life in more and more ways. And And please visit advancedliving.com, check out that comfort technology. And just wishing you a sprouting good week. And till we meet again, God bless and goodbye for now.